Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Lexi Lombard, host of the Lexi Podcast, and thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I have been feeling really creative recently, and I have all these ideas, and to be creative, to be truly creative, you must be truly honest. And in the rat race that is the entertainment industry or social media marketing, especially in the rat race that is social media, entertainment industry, commercial art, the bridge and the overlap between art and business is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's a little daunting because I might have an idea, but if it's not marketable, if it's not commodifiable, if it's not profitable, it sort of feels like a bad idea, at least in capitalism, baby. And that is where I found myself getting a little stuck. And I get stuck in that space every so often. It's a bit routine because I have really talented people that work in marketing, really talented entrepreneurs, really talented business people in my circle. And I see them and I'm so impressed at how they can see something and figure out how to make it this huge campaign. And I admire it, but I don't know if I embody it in the same way. And I'm trying to learn. And I do think there's something beautiful about finding a way to make a business out of your skills. But in terms of creativity, it was a pleasant reminder to think of my best ideas are when I'm truly, truly honest with myself and things that just sound fun. On the other side of the coin, in terms of business, entrepreneurial spirits and such, I have been really interested in the motto, shooter's gonna shoot. Shooter's gonna shoot, shooter's going to shoot, whatever way you want to say it, shooter's gonna shoot. I was thinking of this initially as a flirtatious man. What's a rejection? Because he's a shooter. Shooter's gonna shoot. It doesn't matter if one says no, because eventually one will say yes, but also he's a ball player. Like, that's what they do. And I needed something installed in my house. And I'd asked my friend and he was giving me advice on things. And then when I was like, do you want to help me? Any chance you want to help me hang it up? He was radio silent. I was like, you know what? Shooter's gone shoot. Asked another friend. Acquaintance. And he literally just was like, I think you should just get a handyman. But then I had three other friends who were like, yeah, no problem. Say less. And it felt nice to not take the first one so personally because shooter's gone shoot. I wish I could say it differently. I don't have the correct, voice to say that expression, but I wrote it down in my journal, and I drew a little basketball going into a basket, because you can always take another shot. And that's what I continued doing until I got to a yes. And I've seen some people on social media recently that are making content series about, I tried to get 1,000 rejections, or I emailed 100 hotels to try to get free stay, 20 answered, 10 said yes, and 2 offered payment. And that all sort of falls under the same umbrella of shoot your shot. And I've been so privileged and so lucky to have a lot of, if not 99% of the business I do be business that has come to me. Brands offering sponsorships, brands looking to collaborate where I haven't really had to pitch. And when I would hear about pitching, this is so stupid of me and not forward thinking, but I would think of pitching just almost coming from such a place of self-centeredness for me to reach out to a brand like Tank Air. I don't know. That's the tank top sitting in front of me. And say, Tank Air, I love your stuff. If you ever want to work together, here's my email. Here are my rates. I would never say it like that, but I'm not presenting an idea. I was literally pitching. This is how I was pitching in my head. I wasn't doing this in practice to confirm, but can clarify. That is how I imagined it going. And as I previously said, I have really smart, business-minded people in my circle, and I've started to see them make things out of their own ideas. Bring ideas to life that they've pitched to other brands. I have friends that have gotten paid to host dinners. I have friends that turned unpaid opportunities into 6-month campaigns. The things that I've seen have been so impressive. And going back to be creative, you must be truly honest. There are ideas I have all the time. Why don't I just shoot my shot and pitch them to brands? I have ideas. I'm a little embarrassed to say this because you're probably listening like, okay, But in case maybe you weren't, here's a fellow reminder. Why not? Why not? Something that rings in my head a lot is asking and getting a no is the same as not asking at all. So it doesn't change your place unless you, and you have to get over any hump of fear of rejection. But this kind of goes back to, you're just taking a shot. You're just throwing a basketball into the hoop. If it doesn't get in, that's fine. Eventually it will. Or you'll just start getting better and better at it and it'll start going in more and more often. So I decided yesterday in a very chatty mood. I didn't take any substance yesterday. I mean, besides my normal pharmaceutical cocktail, but I didn't take anything recreational or drink an absurd amount of caffeine or anything. But I felt like I was on an Adderall high yesterday. I was pitching my ideas to brand after brand after brand. And they're not the same ideas. I wasn't taking one concept and being like, do you want to take it? Do you want to take it? Do you want to take it? I was taking things that I had thought of for specific brands that I'd want to align with. And we'll see how it goes. I'm curious because shooters gone shoot. And in terms of little fun ideas that I don't think will lead into anything, one thing about my podcast is that my favorite episodes I've ever made are episodes titled like something that I could imagine as the title of a book. And I always imagine specific episodes, I have a handful in my mind, as book covers. And I would love to take a little time today or tomorrow and try to turn a few into actual book covers because I think that would be really fun. I have clear images in my head and it's something I've thought about. And why don't I do that? So if you see me making them, you'll know that I went through with it and I'm feeling good about it. I'm feeling energized. God, what daylight savings can do to people. I posted a video on TikTok or Instagram the other day that a recent piece of advice. I'm listening to a lot of little one-liners recently or currently. And it was depression can't catch a moving target. And it was some guy catching a flight. And I thought, okay, I hear you. I hear you. Interesting. And between that piece of advice and daylight savings, I am running full speed ahead and I feel really, really good about it. So creatively and professionally, that is where I'm at if you needed a little pep talk or are feeling inspired to do the same. Now I have a few other things that I'd like to talk about that are not about my professional life and more just recent observations. One, the little treat. This is my Cut article. Defining the quote, silly little beverage and the sweet treat. I was at my neighborhood coffee shop yesterday and the barista was making something I'd never seen before. It looked pretty elaborate. And I was asking her what it is. And it had all of these different components. I think it had marshmallow, it had sweet cream, it had caramel, it had, I don't even really remember. And she looked at me and was like, this is a real treat. And I had a little that's so Raven moment where I stared thinking of all of the things that I've considered little treats. I just generally even think of getting a coffee out as a treat because it's slightly indulgent, but I'm not budgeting right now. So it really isn't indulgent. That would be a financial treat if I was budgeting, but I think of really normal things that I can afford or things that fit into my lifestyle, whether that means financially, nutritionally, or calorically. I'm trying to think of other categories. So they're not really treats. But the drink that she was showing me was by and large absolutely a treat. I mean, it was giving the equivalent of a double chocolatey chip frappuccino with whipped cream and caramel drizzle. And I thought, do I actually give myself treats? Like, what would be a treat? And this, the treat that came to my mind is taking an Uber ride from LAX. I always walk to the shuttle because the only cars that will pick you up from LAX airport are black cars. And it just feels like, do I want to spend $50 extra so I don't have to hop on a shuttle? And I rarely ever do, but that would be a real treat. That would be a really big treat. getting an iced coffee out, sure, it's fun. But a treat, a real treat, I'm still soundboarding this concept. This whole episode is a bit of a soundboard. I think I'm feeling pretty chatty from my 90s drive that I took this morning. And by that, I mean I accidentally left my phone at home, so I had to drive to Glendale and back with no GPS, no phone distraction, which I was impressed with myself, by the way. Might I add, the drive to my workout studio, easy, intuitive, effortless. For some reason, driving home from the workout studio, frightening, complicated, wearying. So I thought, all right, I can make it to the workout studio, but can I make it home without taking a wrong turn? And I credit myself for having a really good sense of direction. I don't know why the drive home was so complicated. And you know what? I think GPS was overcomplicating it. I just retraced my steps on the way home and I thought, this is not the way the GPS normally takes me. This one's so much easier. I don't care if I didn't save 3 minutes. It's fine. Sometimes my GPS has me taking these absurd ways. Actually, many a times, the way that I would take myself home or anywhere is not exactly the way the GPS would take me. I don't know, but I don't really need to save the 3 minutes. Proud of myself for getting back though. And it was nice. And it gave me a lot more time to think because my favorite radio station show was not on. It's only on Fridays. So I wasn't inspired by any of the radio stations and I didn't have my Spotify or podcast or anything to listen to. So I was sitting in silence and I was just talking to myself or singing to myself and I got the wheels churning. So maybe take yourself on a little 90s drive or take yourself on a little 90s walk. I love when I accidentally leave my phone at home. One of my friends that I see at the dog park, he never brings his phone to the dog park and it's his little phone free time. And I think that's great. Okay, so that's why I'm feeling, I think, particularly chatty today. But back to my little treat. I'm thinking of this because I find that a lot of us, and I would assume that I mean us, like everyone, but us specifically, the listeners to this podcast. I do feel like we're very driven, ambitious people. We're curious, we're introspective, and we want to be the best version of ourselves. And I think the downside of that sometimes is being maybe too disciplined or having these arbitrary rules that we've created for ourselves that I'm not sure that I'm actually allowing myself treats. I might be calling the most mundane, unspecial things treats. I can't remember the last time I got some caramel marshmallow whipped cream drink. That would actually be a treat. Like, yes, getting a pedicure is a treat. But having groomed feet shouldn't be a treat. That should be, I mean, you could do it yourself. I guess going out to the nail salon would be the treat. But I think the actual treat would be getting nail art. And I never do that because I'm like, I don't know if it's worth the extra $20 or $30. I don't even know what nail prices are these days. That would be a treat. You know what I also think of as a treat? I recently had to drive myself to the hospital because I was having horrible back pain. The fact that medical care in America is considered a treat. So I'm like, oh, this is about to be so expensive, but I'm so scared for my back. I need to get it figured out. I just don't think I have the correct definition of treat, and that has been inspired or has been brought to my attention by the barista yesterday. She has no idea the rabbit hole that she pointed to when she said, oh, this is a real treat. And I also believe that with me saying that a lot of us are introspective and curious and ambitious and we want to be the best version of ourselves, I think a lot of us also romanticize the mundane. I certainly do. I think everything is a treat. To be alive is a treat. But I also think it's nice to indulge a little, to give yourself something extra. My roommate Tyra, she gives herself a treat every single day. That's how she gets through the day. It could be anything. Sometimes it's a chicken treat. Sometimes it's a, which are like a, something specific at a coffee shop near us. That sounded crazy to be like, she has chicken as a treat. She's a dog. Sometimes it's a TV treat. My real treats at this stage of my life are sleep treats. I will allow myself to sleep in. I slept until 10 today. I've slept until 10 twice this week, and those are real treats. I am drinking coffee a little bit later in the day, and I am going to bed a little bit later. So I think I'm still getting the same amount of sleep. It's just pushed back. But it still feels like a treat to not force myself to wake up. And I feel incredibly well rested. And I went to my workout class. It wasn't my best work. I've been really, really on my workout grind recently. I would say many days a week, 3 minimum. And then bonus, at least a hike or two, at least a long walk or two. And I'm feeling good. The motivator behind this, you ask, is it summer? No. Is it a photo shoot coming up? No. It's fear. It's fear. I have begun taking creatine because I heard it plumps your muscles. It hydrates your muscles and makes them look more defined and larger in a way that I'm curious to see if it works. What I've also heard is that if you are not actually lifting very heavy or working out very hard, you can end up just looking puffy because it increases your water retention because it's hydrating your muscles, and that is what's making the muscles look more plump. And so if it's not hydrating the muscles, it's just adding extra water to your body, and you can just end up looking puffy and bloated. And I'm so afraid if I've gone out of my way to take a supplement to just make myself maybe look worse. So I'm not only showing up at the gym and working out, I'm lifting heavier. I'm really focusing on my mind to muscle connection. I'm giving it my all. During these workout classes, I work out at a workout studio called Training Mate. They have them in LA and I think Texas, if you're listening from Texas. Which, did I ever tell you guys that Texas reached out to sponsor a podcast? It didn't turn into anything, but the state of Texas, like Texas Tourism, was interested in sponsoring the podcast. And I think that's fabulous. That's like, I don't know if anyone remembered, Washington State Raspberries sponsored the podcast. And I thought that was so cool. I was on a hike with my friend Rachel, and she makes all of these amazing herbal infusions. She makes her own cleaning supplies. She has really great stuff. Her handle is Rachel Lang on Instagram. You should just go to my Instagram and then type in R-A-C-H-A-E-L if you need to find it. But she has all of these amazing recipes. She's studying herbalism. She's also studying to be a doula. She's going to do amazing stuff. And I was telling her about Washington State Raspberries sponsoring my podcast. I'm like, something like a farm or an herbal distributor would be the perfect sponsor for your channel, to just have one company that you get your herbs from, or a farmer's market that you work with to get your produce, whatever it is. And I think that also led to me thinking, yeah, shooters should shoot. Just take a shot. What's the worst that can happen? But it's so many different brands that you don't even expect are looking for promotion. It's not just the classics like Lululemon or L'Oreal. It's Washington State Raspberries in the state of Texas, baby. World's your oyster, come touch the pearl. But Training Mate is in Texas, back to where we started. And I really like it. It's circuit training. You do 3 circuits, 3 times each. And normally it's 2 weightlifting exercises and a cardio. So it might be squats, deadlifts, and stationary bike. And then the second circuit might be planks, chest press, ski machine. And then third one might be tricep dips, bicep curls, and the row machine. And I think showing up is great. I love that. Pat on the back. But choosing the heavier weights, choosing to push myself during the last 15 seconds to go as hard as I possibly can, I'm feeling the difference. I also think I mentioned this before. I don't remember if it was on Instagram or the podcast. Now that I've been posting this podcast and vlogging regularly, I'm having trouble remembering, did I say this here before? Did I say this to a friend, or did I say this on YouTube? Where I've said these words out loud, I just can't remember where. But I believe there's a high probability it was here. But let me brag again. I love a little brag. I was looking in the mirror and I thought, wow, my calves look really good. My thighs look really good. They're looking defined. And I was noticing in my arms too. So I think it's working. My abs do feel a little hidden though. I'm not so sure about it. And I went to Vanity Fair's Young Hollywood event last night and I wore this vintage dress that I've had for ages. I love it. And it felt a little tight around the midsection. So could be my diet, could be creatine. Unsure. Only time will tell. The event was fun. I did notice though, LA men, they don't flirt with women. One of my observations last night was the amount of women laying on thick with men. The only man I saw properly hitting on a woman was an 80-something-year-old man trying to take my friend out. This girl I know, I actually was thinking, because at first it was humorous, but then the more I thought about it, I thought, there's anyone I know in my personal life that would end up with an 80-something-year-old man, it would be her. And she was saying, I don't know, like, you know, you can give me my, I can give you my number and I'll think about it. But as I was leaving, the event was sponsored by La Mer. And so they had all these little La Mer models in these, La Mer outfits looking like little bellhops. And there was a girl just arm on the wall, cornering one of the models, like asking, where are you from? Oh my God, I've never been there. You're here now? That's amazing. Let me get your number, you know? And I'm not sure where you're listening from, if this is just an LA thing, if this is an American thing. I really hope if you're outside of America, you're not experiencing this as well, because I really haven't experienced this outside of America. But right now, the men are getting pursued. And that's just so not my style. I'm not interested in doing all that. It's not in my nature. Maybe the mood will strike and every once in a while, but that was really what I was seeing by and large around. I was seeing women make the moves. I don't like it. I really think LA men, and maybe it's because it's Young Hollywood, so these men already have women throwing themselves all the time at them, so they don't really need to. But I'm like, don't you yearn? Isn't yearning coming back? What's going on? Don't you want? Don't you desire? Or are you just such a magnet that you don't have to? Don't you want the challenge? There must be someone that feels unattainable to you that you'd like to try. And I don't know if this is an overcorrection from the Me Too movement, but my God, men, we were trying to say, please stop raping women, not stop asking them to dinner. Jesus. Yeah, I really, the biggest flirts of the night were women pursuing men. And it just makes me sad. I feel like that's not happening down south. My southern listeners, what's going on here? I really need some messages from the viewers. Send me some DMs on Instagram. Tell me what's going on in other places, because I did the 10 dates in 30 days and I tried. I tried the apps. I gave it a really good shot. Talk about shooters going to shoot. And I still left a little bit like, ugh. Even the guy I liked the most, he lost his job, and I think he just was feeling a little bit discombobulated at this stage in his life, a little bit of like a quarter slash midlife crisis, because he's like, at my big age, I should have a job. This is not what I thought. I have to figure this out. And, you know, you should go figure it out, sir. I will be on my way. That's where I'm at. Let's get into your questions from the Q&A on Instagram. My handle on Instagram is Lexi, just like the name of this podcast, L-E-X-I-E. But first, a word from today's sponsors. All right, my readers, I know you are always looking for a new book recommendation from me. And let me tell you, if you're in the mood for a spicy, sexy, dangerous, morally gray beach read, might I recommend Behind Closed Doors, a book by Shane Rose. When a young woman's life is suddenly put at risk, she's taken in by this brooding billionaire single dad and offered a job that she can't refuse, a live-in nanny. But this home isn't just luxurious, it's this ultra wealthy gated enclave. And there are secrets, and there is danger, and there are facades. He's protective, he's possessive, completely off limits, of course. We need a little yearning. And the closer she gets to him, the more she realizes that his world is far more dangerous than she could have ever imagined. Tension, stakes are high. So if you're craving a dark, can't look away love story, add behind closed doors to your TBR. Sadie Wheeler wants to know how to escape corporate America and still make money. Maybe leave America. That's how I'm feeling. What if we go anywhere else? Aww. We Men 57 asked, how can I let go of my family so I can be myself? They have opposing views on my queer lifestyle. I think when you're young, any of the choices you make feel a lot of times unsupported by your family because you're trying to figure out who you are and you want to express yourself and go as far as you possibly can, seeing what feels right. And your family has already been alive much longer. So they have done whatever level of experimenting they were comfortable with and came full circle to the type of person they've decided that they want to be in this life. And it can be really challenging to have people who've made their decisions and their decisions aren't the same as your life. And it can feel personal. It can feel like, oh, you because you aren't living the same way as I am, you don't support me. You don't like it. So instead of trying to fight it, instead of trying to change their mind or run as far away as possible, you need to let things simmer down. You have to live your life the way that you want to. But the best case scenario is to put your family in neutral. You don't need them to be obsessed with you. You don't need them to disown you. And you don't want to feel like the black sheep. You don't want to disown them, even though it can feel that way sometimes where you're like, God, I just need a different family. I just need to replace all of them. Or I need to, what's the word when you disown your family or when you emancipate yourself? I'm assuming you're past emancipation age, though. I'm guessing 20s. Live your queer lifestyle. Live authentically to you. Don't try to change them. And don't let them try to change you. And I promise in time, though it seems like it will never come around, there will be a middle ground 9 times out of 10. You guys will come to a point of peace and agreement. I promise it might not be immediate, but 9 times out of 10, it will happen. And on the 1 out of 10 chance that it doesn't, you will have your chosen family and they will love you even more. Linda wants to know a recent fashion-related obsession of yours. What is it right now? Let me know. Let me go to my closet. You know, I'm going to link some sneakers down below that I've been wearing to my workout class. I was wearing one pair of sneakers and they were cute. And I think I kept working out in them because they were cute. And then I found some shoes in my closet that I had gotten for, I forget what, like maybe more streetwear instead of the gym. And my friend wore them on a hike recently and was talking about the foot alignment. So I decided to wear them to Training Mate. And oh my God, was she right? The foot alignment on these Salomons that I have is so good and I'm loving to work out in them. I just wear kitten heels / heels all the time, so my feet hurt often. And when I get a chance to wear these, I feel cute. They don't seem too gymmy. You could definitely wear them outside of the gym, but they're also great for working out. So I'll link those down below. So that's fashionable. Donald J. Pliner. I don't believe they make these boots anymore, but they're on The RealReal and on Poshmark, so I will link those shoes as well. It's such a bummer that podcasts and YouTube videos most of the time are just from the chest up, because most of the time the best part of my outfit are my shoes. I have such a good shoe collection. I also have such a good handbag collection, and you never see those in videos. Typically, my style is a pretty plain top, and then a cute bottom, whether that's a little mini skirt, a cute pair of capris, maybe a fun pant, and then a heel or a boot, and a cute bag. That's often what it is. I normally keep my makeup pretty simple, and I keep my top pretty simple. So it just looks like you just don't get to see the best parts of it. So you know what I was thinking about is that another creative idea, if I'm being truly honest with myself, I love how the ideas that I've shared for this to be creative is to be honest are both really lighthearted things, but I haven't explored to the depths of this yet. But I think it would be so fun to attach a little mini mic to a cute heel, to find some heels that I can hold. I'd either have to clean them off or get some cute ones that aren't dirty, just because I don't want to hold a shoe that's been on the ground. And attach a little microphone and use the kitten heel as a microphone. And if I ever did turn this podcast into a video, how cute would it be if both the guest and I were holding little kitten heels as mics, and then maybe I have them bring a little favorite shoe of their own, or they're a different pair of shoe every single time. I don't know. I think that would be fabulous. But I'll link the sneakers and the boots down below. Fashion faves that I've also been loving recently. This is not something I have in my closet yet, but I've been watching fashion shows more, and I never regret watching a fashion show. I never regret going outside. I never regret watching a fashion show. So I watched the Spring Summer Chanel show, and the dropped waistlines are so interesting. They're so fun because we've been dropping the waistline more and more, and it's a fun next step. So I'm curious to see how that will play out in the real world. And then I watched the new Gucci show, now that Demna's there. And I love how tapped into the like bot subculture he is. It's really interesting, and that was really fun to watch. And then hear me out. I know this might not sound interesting, but the recent Louis Vuitton show, the men show, I told Tyra, because Tyra, Kiki told, whatever, one of our friends told Tyra, one of my friends told my friend who told me, watch the show. And all of us were like, I don't want to do that. And we watched it and our jaws were dropped on the floor. And Pharrell is 52. He's also from Virginia. I found out both of those things last night, and he does not look like he's 52. But Tyra and I were watching this show with our jaws dropped. He did such a good job. It was so creative. The men looked so good. Oh my God. We were like, I wish men wore things like this to work. And then we're like, I wish men worked. I wish I was seeing men in button-ups and layers so perfectly done. But we were talking about how you really can do so many different things in your life. You can have a full-on music career for 10, 15 years, and then you can have a full-on fashion career for 10, 15 years. There's always new chapters that you can really dive full force into. You know, I really think should work with a fashion house is Tyler, the Creator. I feel like he has such a good eye, and it's probably only a matter of time before he does something like that, but he clearly is a visionary. He's creative on a lot of fronts, and it would be interesting to see what he does. So I would watch those shows. I can link them down below if I remember. Okay, so what? Sneaker, boot, Chanel show, Gucci show, Louis Vuitton men's show. I can do that. That's only 5 links. That's so easy. In addition to the Patreon, which is the ad-free extended version, my journals that I've been making, they're only getting better. My boss is wanting to switch up the elastic. She's like, I don't like this elastic. It looks cheap. I'm like, all right, let's try something new. We understand the format. I understand how to make it. Now we can start breaking the rules, bending it, making it more individual. And so that would be fun. And then what else do I have linked down below? The coloring book. Oh, this girl came in and bought a coloring book recently because she was hopping on a flight. And I'm like, that's so cute that someone on the airplane is coloring in my coloring book. I don't know. I like that visual. I like that. Kate asked for my thoughts on the new Harry album. I have to give it more time. Aperture was such a strong single, and it's still my favorite from the album. So it either means that I like the single more than the album, or I haven't given the album enough time. Do you guys remember when I almost hit Harry Styles with my car? I was driving to pick up my friend in Silver Lake, and I was on this really hilly road, and it was dark. And I see this hot guy in gray sweatpants and a white tank top, and I think, wow, almost just hit this hottie with my car. Oh my God, how horrible for me to hit someone / a hottie. And then I look in my rearview mirror and there's not a doubt in my mind. It's not, oh, that guy kind of looks like. I know immediately, oh my God, that's Harry Styles. And it's when he was dating Olivia Wilde and they lived in Silver Lake, and that's where I live. So that was all the confirmation I needed. And I picked up my friend and I said, on the way here, I almost hit Harry Styles with my car. Liz Zombie asked, how to give the city you're from a chance, parentheses, even though it doesn't align with your personality. Oh, one, you can look at the actual natural beauty No, let's back up even farther. Let's do a little mind game. All right, you have to pretend like you woke up in this body, in this town for the first time ever. So you have to look at it almost as if you're a foreigner inside your body. You're looking around the room. You can even do this now. I mean, anyone can do this. It doesn't have to be just if you don't like your hometown. But if you're feeling a little uninspired by your space, to play the game that you just woke up in this body and you're looking at everything for the first time. And it gives you these fresh eyes. You might pick out a different outfit. You might walk a different direction. You might drive a different direction. You might find yourself appreciating random things that you didn't. I always find this when I'm about to move. While I'm looking for places to move, I'm always like, oh, I'm so sick of this place I live in. It's just, I'm so over it. And then as soon as I sign the lease on the new place, I start feeling lovingly towards where I am, and suddenly I'm going to miss it. So play that mental game. Other things you can do are try to find new people. Even in high school, there's always going to be a group of outsiders that don't align with the status quo of where you live. And those people grow into adults and still will exist there. So there is a community. I mean, I'm even thinking of how homogenous my town in Warrenton is, or my town in Virginia is. But even still, there are little subcultures within it. Like, they exist and you could totally find them. Liz Zombie also asked advice for a 25-year-old. My frontal lobe developed and I feel less fun. I turned 25 in COVID, so I don't even know what I was feeling. And I don't think you feel less fun. I think the things that you used to think are fun aren't fun anymore. And what you'll think of or what you want to do is different. And the shift is not that you aren't fun, but you've changed your interests. And it suddenly your 30s are going to seem so much cooler than your 20s. I mean, all my friends and I are saying this. We're all in our later 20s. Some of my friends are already in their early 30s, mid 30s, and you could not pay us to go back to our early 20s. Whoever said 20s are the best decade, I'm like, uh-uh. Guys, it gets so much better. I know it. I feel it in my bones. Rava Lotkar asks, what do you do when you need to get out of your head? I would, A, call someone else and listen to them. Ask them questions. Get in someone else's head. People always want a listening ear. And if you want to get out of your head, get into someone else's. Call your friend. It's been a while. I need a catch up. Tell me everything. Call your mom, call your dad, call your grandma, call your grandpa, call your cousin, call your old childhood bestie. Do that. And it's easier to do that and get into their head than try to find some television show or movie that's going to grip you enough. I mean, you could totally go to TV, to books, to movies to suck you into somewhere else. But I think it's also really kind to offer the lending ear because it benefits both you and the other person. Wow, I can't believe that the next time I record an episode, I will be 30. I turned 30 on Sunday, and this episode is going up before then. And the next time I record, I will be actually 30. I feel it always takes me about a year to get comfortable with my age, and then it's time to turn the new one. I finally feel comfortable saying I'm 29. And just when I felt comfortable saying I was 28, I turned 29. And it's just, the year goes by too fast, but I've simultaneously felt like I'm 34 years, so I'm not having the crisis. My friend and I were on the phone the other day, and she asked, she's like, are you feeling any type of way about it? Because she's also turning 30 soon. And I said, I had my cry. I had my little spiral. It was 2 weeks ago. I was just generally feeling a little confused on where I was at, and it felt like the 30 of it all was just the cherry on top of the crisis, and I cried it out, and I feel good now. I feel a lot more ready. The thing I feel least ready about is the actual organization of the trip. So 5 or 6 of my friends and I, we're going to drive up to Big Bear, go skiing, hang out in a cabin. If you're listening to this episode and you happen to know Big Bear and you know a good restaurant or a place to go out, because I was looking and I think I'd rather cook. I'm not super impressed by any of the restaurants there. I just don't think my roommate is so convinced. She's like, let's just go to a steakhouse and get a fish and a vegetable. I'm like, I would rather not pay. I don't know what a dinner for six or seven would be, but we'll say like $400 for us to all get a mediocre fish and a vegetable when I could spend $400 and make us an amazing meal, or spend half that and still make us a great meal. Because I'm like, I was planning on going to Trader Joe's and I can't even imagine. You would have to get so much at Trader Joe's to spend $400, because I will get 2, 3, 4 full bags of things. And I don't think I've ever spent more than $150 at Trader Joe's. And even still, that feels hard to achieve. But if anyone has a really good recipe that they've made recently, or they know Big Bear at all, please send me your recs. I'll probably ask on Instagram if anyone has any Big Bear recs. But maybe I'll come back next week with a whole new insight on life. Or maybe I won't. Who knows? I never know what the weeks have in store. And on that note, I will talk to you guys later next week. Now, if you are on the Patreon or you're interested in an ad-free extended episode, I will link that down below. I took mushrooms before work the other day, and that's the story that I want to share with all of you, and just more musings and adventures of working at Clio. So if that's of your interest, keep listening or click the link down below. For everyone else, thank you so much for listening. It's always a pleasure getting your time and getting to spend these episodes with you. So thank you, and I will talk to you all very soon. XOXO, Lexi.